name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today is that first Sunday of the four preparatory Sundays that lead us to Great Lent. Each of these Sundays has a theme. Today's theme is that of humility. You know, in the church calendar, what goes around comes around. And while on the surface of it, it seems like what we consider each and every year, these different aspects of the church calendar are redundant. In fact, each year has a life unto itself. Because our relationship with God is a dynamic relationship. We never get to a point where we can say, aha, I've got it. I've got it all figured out. The only thing that really we will ever completely figure out that we're only capable of comprehending is the fact that we have fallen short of the glory of God. And the only hope we have is for His glory, for His mercy, to be brought to bear on our sinful souls. So during this time that we are preparing ourselves, this time of Great Lent, that is, as we are beginning to move in that direction, in the epistle reading today, it alluded very unobtrusively to those who have the desire to be righteous or to live a righteous life. This is a good question that each of us, myself being the foremost of all, needs to revisit periodically. Because our desires are going to determine where we go in our spiritual life or where we don't go. And we have to be honest, do we not? We have to be honest about our sins, about our shortcomings before God, not to beat up on ourselves, but to ascertain where we are and where He wants us to be. Today we sing in the church for the first time during Orthros, "Open unto me, O giver of life, the gates of repentance." The gates of repentance. The Greek term for repentance is metanoia, which means literally a change of spirit, a change that is deep, a change that is lasting, a change that is radical, in that we are moving in one direction and in repentance we reverse that direction, moving away from God on the one hand but turning back to Him and moving toward Him on the other. Make no mistake about it, repentance is a gift. Repentance itself is a gift. Having the desire even to be a holy person is a gift. We can't take that for granted, nor can we take the grace of God for granted ever. But we can't have the assurance of knowing that when we turn to Him in sincerity, with sincerity of heart, and in honesty, that His healing mercies will be there for us. The change that He wants to effect in us goes to the depths of one's heart, if we allow it. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock," He says. The door is the door of your heart and of mine. But we have to answer that knock. We have to answer and respond to that divine initiative that comes to us, that invitation to turn away from our sins, to turn away from our pride, to humble ourselves instead under the mighty hand of God, and to follow Him wherever He leads, trusting Him, knowing that He is the giver of life. He is the one who has given life unto us. We are made in His holy image, and apart from Him, we are nothing. As I indicated 2 weeks ago, I believe it was 2 weeks ago, the essence of repentance is seen in our agreement with God of not only our sinful deeds, but the sinful disposition which gives rise to these sinful deeds. So as we enter the gate of repentance, we embrace the atmosphere of seeing ourselves as God sees us and determining by His grace to turn away from our sins and to humble ourselves before Him. The greatest threat and the greatest obstacle to this movement toward God is our pride. Pride is a terrible vice. It is a terrible sin. It's the father of all sin, really, in one way. You could say that. But as you've heard me say many times, St. John Chrysostom said that humility is the mother of all virtue. So that's why we start with this virtue as we begin to set our minds to embrace or to direct the desires of our heart toward reconciliation with God, drawing near to Him, being in Him. We have to start with humility. A prideful man or woman, he will reject. But one who is humble from his or her heart, he will give mercy abundantly, without end. And that's what we're called to. As Bishop Alexander, the OCA bishop for Holy Resurrection, said yesterday, that's what you signed up for. That's what you signed up for when you became an Orthodox Christian. It wasn't so you could pompously walk around and, you know, I'm in the real church, I'm in the true church, this, that, and the other. No, what we signed up for was a willingness to enter into this transformation, this life of change. A life of change, that is based in repentance. That's what we signed up for. Today is the first of these four Sundays that usher us to the great fast. And in today's familiar gospel, the pride and self-righteousness of the Pharisee is contrasted with the humility of the publican. Both went up to the temple to pray. Both had that as their objective. But only one approached God in a way that imparts grace. That needs to be our primary concern, my friends, is that we draw near to God in the right way, in a way that imparts grace, which we so desperately need. The Pharisee was filled with self-righteousness, with self-righteous proclamations, and everything he said that he had done, none of that was bad in and of itself. Those were good things, but good things done with the wrong motive no longer have the grace of God infused in them. The publican, who was a sinner, and he was a sinner, he had taken advantage of people, he had robbed. There's no doubt about it, he was a sinner, and he faced all of that. And in so doing, and having embraced the humility before God that he had, he wouldn't even get close to the Lord. He stayed away from Him. He wouldn't even lift his head. All he could say is, Lord, have mercy upon me, the sinner. He had true humility, and his true humility led to a radical change in his life. That man, his efforts to draw near to God in the temple were accepted by God. Not because he was so sharp and so efficient and so educated. It was because he was humble. St. Gregory Palamas writes on this topic, faith and contrition make prayer and supplication for the remission of sins effective. Once evil deeds have been renounced, but despair and hardness of heart make it ineffectual. Thanksgiving for the benefits received from God is made acceptable by humility and not looking down on those who lack them. It is rendered unacceptable, however, by being conceited, as if those benefits resulted from our own efforts and knowledge, and by condemning those who have not received them. The Pharisee's behavior and words prove he was afflicted with both of these diseases. He went up to the temple to give thanks and to make supplication, and like a wretched fool, mingled conceit and condemnation of others with his thanksgiving. A nasty cocktail, right? For he stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers. Instead of the attitude of a servant, the Pharisee's stance displays shameless self-exaltation. The opposite of that other man who in his humility did not dare to lift up his eyes to heaven. So dearly beloved, let us seek, first of all, humility. Let us embrace it. Let us begin to set our minds and our hearts to change, to repent from our sins, to draw near to God in sincerity of heart, and to not let anything stand between us and Him. For that to happen, we have to be honest. We have to have a sense of determination. We can't help ourselves beyond that, but we must be honest before God. And He takes it from there. He will take it from there. So let us, as we begin to move toward the great fast, let us humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He will exalt us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, amen.